Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week.
Special guest Angela Barnes reveals why she's called the Salad Cream Girl.
Disgusting.
No, she just likes salad cream.
Yes, salad cream is disgusting.
You're giving it away now.
Yeah, that's true, sorry.
Brother about to move in with his sister, but tells her where to go when he sees her mind-blowing list of demands.
Special guest Angela Barnes reveals whether she's a dipper or a squirter. of condiments.
What else would it be? Rod reveals the UK's 10 favourite condiments.
And Sian's mind is blown when a swinger is happy to share his wife, but not his chips.
And those are the headlines. Right, episode 43, I believe, people, Barry, Sian.
It is.
Before we crack on, I've got a bit of admin, bit of housekeeping here. I have only got one tour date left this year in 2021
really?
On my Book of John stand-up tour. Only one.
Oh, God.
Southend, Sunday,
Does
the
14th. Does that mean I've only got one night off?
You've only got one night off from
Damn.
Me between now and Christmas. It is Sunday, the 14th of November, and I'm going to be, Sian, in Southend on tour. Of course, though, hey, you'll be glad to hear this, Sean.
What?
That tickets are now on sale for next year's tour.
Oh, brilliant. Get him out the house.
Well, I say next year's tour. It's the same show, Book of John, but it is coming to a theatre near you from January through to June 2022. Have a look. There's about 40 tour dates. You can get the tour dates. And you, Sean, if you want to find out when I won't be at home, when I'm out of the house, for you to A, just have a chilled night, or B, play away, you can check my website.
I just like keeping it as a nice surprise. Yeah. Sometimes I'm in the house going, Rod, oh, he's gone.
Thank God he's on tour. Well, if you check my website, www.rodgilbertcomedian.com, you will find out if I'm in a theatre near you, how to get tickets, or if you're Sean, whether I'm out for the night and you can get somebody round.
No, just have a nice, quiet night in.
Or have a quiet night in. Up to you. Choice is yours.
I can officially endorse the show. I went to go and see it in Bournemouth last week. We had we got a special treat at some point for the listeners and and watchers of the social media because we watched the show in Bournemouth.
Oh boy, we got a treat! Don't give too much away, Barry.
No,
don't
really
give
too much away.
I just say we paid a little visit to
a certain person.
Of ours.
A certain.
Yeah.
Why don't we just say this? Coming up for long-term listeners of the old Radio Wales podcast and this one, the Froth podcast. I was trying to find a way of saying it.
There is no better way of saying it.
No, that's a good way of saying it. Let's just say we paid a little visit to. Oh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one, and we will be putting that out as a very, very special thing somewhere. soon. Anyway, on with the show. Special guest today, Angela Barnes, a.k.a. the Salad Cream Girl. You'll find out why that is in just a moment. Let's get her on. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Angela!
Thank you for having me.
So how have you been, Angela?
I've been well, Rod. You know, as well as can be expected in the last... I think we were quite near the beginning of the pandemic last time I spoke to you, but here we are, still in it.
But
I'm still here. I got married. That's exciting. Did that?
Well, I didn't. I didn't want to bring that up because I didn't know if it was common knowledge.
It is common.
I thought you were going to say I didn't know if you were still together.
It was brilliant.
Oh, so you had a pandemic wedding?
Well, sort of. Yeah, it's sort of at the end of it, really. So we could have as many guests as we liked. We did it. We had a big party in a field. So we did it as COVID safe as we could. But we were after all the restrictions had been lifted. So no one got COVID at our wedding. So that's a win, right?
That's brilliant. That's all you need. That's all you want, really, for a pandemic.
Was it all in a field then? Was it everything in a field?
I mean, we'd be able to
talk about this much better now if we'd been invited.
Awkward.
Very awkward.
No, listen. I understand, and the listeners will understand at this point. No, it's not that. They'll understand at this point. In the pandemic, numbers were limited.
Yeah, that's right. The numbers were limited.
And it made you focus more on friendships that count.
Obviously, Rod and Sean, we would have loved to have had you there, but you know what guest lists are like at weddings. Unfortunately.
I understand in a pandemic, it's even more pressure. Barry, were you invited?
No, I didn't. Mine might have got lost in the post, though.
Yeah. I think all of yours got lost. What a shame. They were definitely sent. Yeah.
The government restrictions did say invite who you want, but then knock three off. And then unfortunately that was us three, wasn't it?
Luck of the draw, mate. What can I say?
We do know what it's like, don't we, with wedding lists?
Are you trying to help Angela out now?
They're a living nightmare. Hang on a minute. I didn't come to your wedding.
I know.
Exactly.
It was the pandemic.
They are a nightmare.
We got married. It was the plague when we got married, wasn't it?
Loads of people with like sores everywhere.
To be fair, we didn't know you when we got married, though. Get out of that.
That's an all right excuse, I suppose.
You expect us to go inviting people we didn't know?
Angela, you were telling me just now your hen party was in a bunker.
Yeah,
is that right?
A nuclear bunker in Dundee. Right. Well, you know I'm a bit obsessed with bunkers. That's my thing.
Is that so we wouldn't find it?
Yes. Yeah. The only way I could keep Rod Gilbert away from my hen do was to be behind 10 foot of reinforced concrete.
It's not on the sat nav, Angela. It's not.
I mean, you'll never get over the barbed wire.
Nothing worked. I had to. Desperate time.
Two things we know about Angela is she loves the Cold War and she hates fish.
Yes,
two things we know.
Two things.
Last time she was on, we were talking about the story about a man who had a fish stuck up his bum.
Oh, that's right.
We were talking about a man who had a fish up his bum and a nurse found it. Do you remember?
He sat on a fish by accident.
Angela, we would say? If we were introducing you at a party, that's how we would introduce you. This is Angela. She likes the Cold War and...
I mean, when people say, you know, she likes the Cold War, let's just put that... I'm interested in Cold War history. I'm not like, hey, Cold War, hey, nuclear Armageddon, bring it on. I'm not, you know... Pro nukes. Yes. I just want to make that clear.
That's right. We've had conversations before where we were saying that you should have spoken to my dad.
Yeah,
that's right.
Before he died.
He was in the Royal Observatory.
He just had amazing stories. Well, he was in the nuclear bunkers in the 80s in Carmarthen, and he said that they used to meet there. You know, so he was there because he spoke a lot of languages and knew a lot of stuff. And then there was other people who might be there. I don't know, somebody might be there because they were. Good at plumbing. Somebody might be good because they were the mayor.
They'd have a plumber, an engineer, you know, lots of different types of professionals. And then you'd have your Royal Observer Corps volunteers as well. And they'd have these,
Wow.
Amazing.
The people whose job it was to restart society, is it?
Did they have women there?
They did have women in the Royal Observer Corps.
If you're going to restart society, you'd have to,
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't, in the job description.
You can't just have a plumber.
You'd have to have one.
Just like Smurfette.
And loads of like plumbers and electricians and stuff. And like,
so who would have been down there?
Sounds like a film I've watched. Sorry.
So he used to go once a month, I think they used to go there. They'd have these meetings where they would plan for a post-nuclear, post-war society. And so you'd know more about this than I would, Angela. What was it like down there?
So what they weren't necessarily planning for a post-war society. They were, their job was to kind of try and keep things going so that if there were survivors, there would be a society afterwards. I've spoken to quite a lot of Royal Observers. Yeah, they basically, it was a bit of a jolly for some of them. Like, they took their role seriously and they had to, you know, sign the Official Secrets Act. Their families didn't know what they were doing. And the idea was that in the event of nuclear war, they would go to the bunker to perform their duties there. Their job was to measure fallout and to make sure that everything, you know, everyone got
this. This is a good time for me to tell you what my dad said, Angela. My dad used to go there every month to this bunker underground in Carmarthen, the nuclear bunker, to do exactly, well, supposedly to do exactly what you're saying. He told me that the first thing they agreed when they got there, they all got down there, they all said hello, and the first thing they agreed was that if there was a nuclear war, there was no fucking way any of them were going there.
That's what pretty much every observer I've spoken to said the same thing. Said they'd all sign the things, go, yeah, we'd go there, but actually, no, they'd stay with their families. Of course they would.
They used to, Rick, my dad said they used to have exercises, you know, like drills, where they would ring the local police station to test out the code messages, the code words and stuff. And he said that they would ring up like Haverford West Police Station or Carmarthen Police Station or whatever, Llanelli. And he said that they'd ring up and they'd go, code so-and-so, code so-and-so. They'd give
code word.
And every what was it?
Code warning red. Attack warning red. Attack warning red.
That's it. Right.
Attack warning
red. So he said they'd ring up the local police station and go, attack warning red. And every single time, some local bobby would go, you fucking kids, get out of that phone box. I'll be down there. I know who you are. I know your mother. Every single time. I mean, it's Dad's Army in the 80s, isn't it? It's quite simply Dad's Army in the 80s.
It is.
Hey, now this is far too interesting.
Sorry. Yeah, no.
This is the Froth Podcast.
We're not here to learn, are we?
No. This, I think genuinely some of that is interesting. So we'll cut all that out. Don't you worry about that. That's all gone. That's all gone. What we're going to get on to now is the trivial shit. It's called The Froth. It's a little bit of escapism. I've got two frothy stories or three frothy stories, depending how we get on
cool.
time. So I'm going to pick up my first frothy story. Are you ready, everyone?
I'm ready. I'm braced.
Ready.
It's not often I get a chance to ask people this question. Are you a dipper or a squirter?
Oh, God.
Well, if you watched my special webcam feed, you'd know the answer to that, Rod.
A dipper or a squirter?
A dipper or a squirter. Right, now then, what the hell are you talking about?
Are you a dipper or a squirter? Just answer the question.
Dipper.
Dipper.
Because there's no way either of us is going to say we're a squirter.
Yeah.
While someone's
I'm
recording
not getting into
it.
That trap.
I'm not having that clipped out.
Hang on. We haven't heard Barry's answer yet.
Barry.
Squirter.
Oh.
Obviously. Barry.
Barry's a squirter. Angela, dipper, Sian?
Dipper.
I don't think you're either.
Really?
No.
Is this about mayonnaise?
It's about condiments.
Oh, okay. I love a condiment.
Do you?
I do.
Sian doesn't use condiments, so I don't think you are a dipper or a squirter.
I'm not too keen on condiments.
Really?
No.
I can't understand that. I'll have three different condiments on one dinner.
Do you?
Oh, easily.
I've really started getting into having horseradish, not just with beef.
Ooh. With what then,
Maverick?
Barry?
Just with whatever, chicken, sometimes it's vegetables.
You're pregnant, Barry.
Oven chips.
I love horseradish.
Horseradish is very nice with salmon.
Stick a bit of dill in it.
Britain is a nation of ketchup lovers, it says.
I don't like it.
No, you don't.
I don't like ketchup.
Barry?
No, not that bothered about ketchup.
What?
It's just sugar. It's like putting sugar on like your food.
Yeah, that's the point.
I'd always go mayonnaise with chips rather than ketchup.
Barry is tyrannical to himself about his own food. He's enslaved by his own tyranny.
Barry boundaries.
He's got his own rules for eating food that are so fucking weird. You wouldn't believe him.
Have you really, Barry?
Very simply, Angela. I will. If I had a burger and chips, I'd eat all my chips before I had the burger.
I'm exactly the same. I do that, especially if it's like a McDonald's burger or something, because you save the best till last, right? That's what you
exactly,
do.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And I'm going to be 45 next week, and I still haven't worked out, even though I know intellectually that if you do that, then you're full up by the time you get to the best bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes it ruins it.
That's
I know that intellectually, but I can't stop doing it.
I still manage it.
Yeah.
But Angela, it's not as if we're going to leave any of that McDonald's meal because you're full. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not like we're
exactly.
going to go, yeah. Oh, I don't need this anymore.
That's true. Yeah, because it's the minute you've bought a McDonald's meal, you've made a mistake. So you might as well keep yeah. making it.
It's not often we talk about cognitive dissonance on this show. What an interesting show today.
and regardless, you know you're going to feel really low and hate yourself after having
yeah. totally.
McDonald's
so
or any
well.
Other fast food place, KFC, totally. Burger King. You're going to feel yeah. awful afterwards, whatever. So you might as well finish it.
You might as well eat it.
Luckily, I hate myself on the way in.
It is funny going through
like that. That's what you go in. You wouldn't go in if you didn't hate yourself.
No, exactly. It's just confirming your very yeah. solid opinion of yourself.
As soon as you
I hate myself.
The
McDonald's. McDonald's. Oh, God, I hate myself.
This is all I deserve.
Hi, I hate myself. It's funny going through the least favourite to the most favourite, isn't it? That means you have like a 2 litre Diet Coke first, then you have chips, and then you have some meat.
My dad had weird food rules, bless him. He couldn't bear people like sharing food off each other's plates. You know, where you go, oh, do you want to try a bit of my... He was like, no, this is my food. You can't have it. And,
I'm like this.
Oh, you like that? Oh, he it yeah, would make yeah, him yeah. mad. And he couldn't even bear it if other people did it. He was
really?
Like, stop, you eat yours. That's it.
That's really
stop
funny.
This. Stop this.
I'm
not right with other people doing it.
He would insist on a knife and fork. And if you only used a fork, you know, like if you're eating something you just needed, he'd say, stop eating like an American. I don't know where he got that from. Be like, use a knife and fork, you're eating like an American. And because I dated an American guy for a couple of years when I was in my 20s.
Oh, really?
And he used to drive my dad mad because he couldn't say that to him because he was an American. So he'd deliberately eat with just a fork and my dad would be just there, oh my God, I can't say
anything. Oh my God.
My dad lived in America for years and years, and it blew his mind when he came over here to visit at one point and he saw people eating pizzas with a knife and fork. He's like, what are people doing?
I had a first date that invited me, well, it was a guy, it was before internet dating, I was about 18, and he'd seen me in a play, right? And I went to a bar after I'd been in this play, and he was friends with some other friends of mine. We got chatting and he seemed quite nice, and he said, do you want to come to a party at my house on Saturday as my date? And I said, oh, all right then. Yeah, that sounds like fun. So he came and picked me up in his car. He lived in a little village outside of Maidstone where we both lived at the time. And he came and picked me up, drove me to his house, and it was his parents' 25th wedding anniversary party. Yeah, I thought he was just having a party. And I got introduced to his first date. And I couldn't get home. I was in a village in the middle of nowhere. It's before mobile phones. I couldn't even ring a cab.
No.
I was just stuck there all night till he drove me home again. Just
oh
captive.
My God.
Being introduced to his grandma.
Were you like trying to make conversation with the parents? So, guys, so 25 years ago, guys. Wow, silver. Yeah. What's that? What gift is that? 25 years.
Brilliant.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Hey, now back to this story.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I forgot. What? Oh, it's about mayonnaise.
8 in 10 are adamant that a dollop of tomato sauce on the side of the plate to dip food into is best. 2 in 10 prefer.
What?
As in they get the bottle and squirt all over their food.
No.
That's
it's got to be dipped.
2 in 10
You might change your mind.
Smother their meal.
No. 2 in 10.
More than half felt squirting ketchup all over a dish was bad manners and an insult to the chef.
It is.
Yeah.
You do it sometimes. You just like take, if we're sharing chips or something, you'd be like, oh, I'll just put loads of ketchup on it. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I very rarely do that. I only do that if I know the chef isn't watching.
Also, I don't think the chef at McDonald's gives that much of a toss, to be honest.
How dare you?
I think it's smothering, not squirting. I think what they've done is the sub headline writer at the Mirror has just gone, let's make it sound like an innuendo. Let's say squirting. Because it could be a glass bottle.
Also, if they ask people are you a smotherer, it does sound like you're a killer.
Yeah, you can squirt it to a dollop. You're right.
You squirt it to a dollop. Yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a smotherer. Yeah. Let's go smothering it from now on in this story.
No, smotherer. Yeah. You're not going to ask, are you a smotherer in the headline of the...
Your granny will have to sleep with one eye open.
A survey of 1,500 adults by frozen food giant Birdseye found chips were the most popular food to go with a condiment. To go with a condiment.
What?
I wonder, what should I have with my mayonnaise tonight?
I remember when I was in university, when I met my first, my you know, my mates love me, and my gang of girls, the Talls, they're brilliant, my friends from university. I met them on the first day, we went to the Slug and Lettuce, and it was one of my first days in Cardiff University, and we had chips, and they ordered it with mayonnaise, and it blew my mind.
Very continental.
I phoned my parents. I phoned my parents and went, oh my God, we've just had mayonnaise with chips. Yeah. Cardiff is incredible.
You see, I was an early adopter of that because I had a friend at school whose mum was Belgian. So I'd gone round their house when I was a kid and she put mayonnaise. And I'd never had mayonnaise because we were a salad cream family all the way.
Yes, and I'd never had it before I was 18.
I just thought it was going to taste like salad cream. And when it didn't and it was on chips, like you say, it blew my mind. But I'm still a salad cream girl.
Isn't it bizarre though that we remember? I can remember exactly where I was. I was in Perpignan in the south of France. I was 16, and when I first had mayonnaise on chips. How come we can all remember? It's like the JFK. It's like JFK.
It's like JFK. Where were you?
Where were you, Rod, when you first had mayonnaise on chips?
Well, when JFK was shot, I was putting some mayonnaise on my chips in Wimpy and come out.
A group of people are all talking about the JFK assassination and someone thinks they're talking about where did you have mayonnaise for the first time.
Well, I'm gonna throw the whole trend here. I don't remember when I had mayonnaise on chips for the first time, but
really?
I will tell you this. I will tell you this for nothing. That probably my favourite food stuff in the world, bar none, my desert island food.
I know this.
It's Hellmann's mayonnaise.
Oh, I thought it was cottage cheese.
Oh, cottage cheese and baked potatoes. cheese and baked potatoes, yeah, as a meal.
Do you know what mine is?
As a condiment, or it's Hellmann's mayonnaise. It has mayonnaise to be Hellmann's. No other mayonnaise gets close.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It doesn't. But I still love salad cream. And my go-to thing, and I've done this since I was a little kid, if I need a little comfort food, you're going to find this disgusting, but it's my thing. And this is where I am a smotherer.
Oh, God. What do you do with the salad cream?
I get a bowl of peas.
Oh, God. Where's this going?
And mix them in salad cream. And that's my comfort
peas.
Food. Peas mixed in salad cream. Try it.
What, hot peas or cold peas?
Hot peas, salad cream. It's lovely. That's my little
nice,
go-to
actually.
Comfort snack.
It doesn't sound nice.
It doesn't sound comforting.
No, it doesn't sound. No, I'm definitely not comforted by that idea.
Isn't it weird what we find comforting though? Like food. It's really weird.
Hellmann's mayonnaise goes on anything. Chilies, spag balls. But
it just makes everything feel luxurious.
Apart from curry, I have it on everything. Literally everything. God, I love it.
Are you plumping for a promotion?
Not the light one. That's dog shit.
No, no.
Dipping food into someone else's sauce is seen as a faux pas by half. Ketchup or mayo with a roast was a no-no for almost 50%. Now then.
God, yeah.
Now only 50%? I would have thought more people said no to that on a roast. Because on a roast, you want your mustard, your mint sauce, your horseradish,
right?
Your gravy. Bread sauce, cranberry.
Who was having ketchup with...
Angela's doing an amazingly comprehensive roast list of condiments.
Oh, that's why I love a roast dinner, because the condiment selection is just incredible.
I mean, I'm saying yes, I hate them all.
So the other 50%, perfely happy with it. Four in 10 fussy eaters frowned on mixing two sauces together on a plate.
Yes.
You can mix tomato ketchup and mayonnaise, nothing else.
Yes, because that makes the sauce, according to my best mate, who's obsessed with it, Lodi, that makes that special sauce that you get in Wimpy.
That's the Mary Rose.
When I make a dressing, I make a salad dressing, I put mustard in olive oil.
Oh,
with garlic.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Bit of honey as well. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting very posh in here now. We've gone from I'm a salad cream girl honey and mustard in my
honey and mustard in my...
And single sauce, extra virgin organic olive oil.
I'm a social climber, Rod. What can I say?
It is social mobilisation.
As long as you don't forget your roots, salad cream girl. Annalisa Fanelly, marketing manager for chicken dippers at Bird's Eye.
What a job.
What does that job entail then?
Marketing manager for chicken dippers.
Yeah, but how can you market that?
Well, she obviously does. We all know what they are.
She's in an excellent job.
My father-in-law worked for Bird's Eye his whole life. He did. And my husband worked there as well. My husband used to work on the peas, Bird's Eye peas, when he was a student.
He wasn't the Captain Bird's Eye, was he?
He's
the only
was.
Person I know who worked for Bird's Eye his whole life.
They've got a new Captain Bird's Eye now, haven't they? A really hot one.
A hot one? Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like it either.
It's not Bird's Eye. I don't want a hot Captain Bird's Eye. He's meant to look like he's in charge of the ship.
He's far too hot to be doing fish fingers. I don't want to be chomping on a fish finger, fantasizing about Captain Bird's Eye's dick.
Absolutely. Or his fish fingers.
Annalisa, what's her face, marketing manager for chicken dippers at Bird's Eye, said, "Our research shows, and I think this conversation shows as well, just how important a dip or a sauce is to Brits. With many saying that a meal is simply not complete without a condiment." Okay, top 10 condiments. You've got 3 minutes. Barry, start the clock, please. Go.
Give me a second.
Okay. I'm not going to win this. Angela's amazing and I don't eat them.
Right. Okay. Well, Charlotte, relax, because if you don't win, it's not the end of the world.
It is.
There's another story to come.
You'll hold it against me. Okay.
Okay. You've got 3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, just shout out condiments.
Well, otherwise, I know we'll be here all day.
Just before I start the clock,
can I just say that Helen, my girlfriend, just walked in silently and handed me, just so weird when we're talking, she just handed me, I haven't opened it yet, she handed me this, right? And I looked at the top, and what have we got? Mayonnaise and ketchup. Ooh. How weird is that? Literally, two condiments on top, and I'm going to open it and see what it is.
And I don't think that is Helen.
I reckon it's a Savoy and chips.
Ooh. It's only a bacon and eggs toasted sandwich.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't even know. Wasn't expecting it.
She's a keeper.
What a lovely little surprise.
She's definitely a keeper, Barry.
For now.
Tell you
for
what.
Now.
And that fits very well with.
I wanted to come in now and nick half his sandwich without saying anything.
But how weird that ketchup and mayonnaise.
I tell you what's weird is that she walked in silently.
Yeah,
Helen, I've never seen her float in.
That shows
how confident she was in her gift, that she walked in silently, put it down silently, knowing how impressive that would be.
And slinks off again.
It's the confidence of walking in with such an impressive breakfast for somebody unsolicited.
Wasn't
no wonder she walked in
that.
And walked out silently. Probably like that, did she?
Just sort of slink backwards.
Walked out like that.
Moonwalked out.
Then fell down the stairs.
Right, you've got 1 minute.
Right,
I'm ready.
Hey, what are we doing? Just shouting out what we think of the top 10 condiments.
Yeah, you've got 1 minute to get them all.
Okay, come on.
One minute to get them all. I don't think you're going to do it. Barry, do you think they're going to do it?
Probably.
I would have done, but when you said I don't think they're going to do it, now I'm feeling slightly more.
Okay. It's like you bet.
Okay.
It's like you bet, this is. I don't think they're going to
do it. Okay. We can do it.
Just so that it's
the other thing is, we've been stalling so long, I can see them both already started.
Yeah. No, but I can't block my mind of condiments.
Okay, you've got 10 seconds now.
Okay.
Because you...
Okay,
you've got 1 minute starting from now. Go.
Okay.
Brown sauce, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, salad cream, barbecue sauce, mustard, whole grain mustard, Dijon mustard, horseradish, apple sauce, mint sauce, cranberry sauce, bread sauce.
Angela's so good at this.
I'm stuck now.
You're not there yet.
HP sauce, gravy. That sauce they have in Edinburgh. Scottish sauce.
Mary Rose.
You've still got one more to go.
Two more to go, I think.
Eight down.
I don't know.
Two to go. How's the clock, Barry?
Mayonnaise, salad cream.
10 seconds.
Nondescript sauce.
Mustard.
Generic
sauce.
God, I don't know.
This is not really. I think this is a bit of a stretch.
Vinegar. What have we missed?
Did you say vinegar?
I thought that was pretty comprehensive.
The top 10 condiments.
Oil.
In this survey are ketchup.
Yeah.
Number one. Two, mayonnaise. Tick. Yep. You got that. Yep. Three, barbecue sauce. Angela got that.
Ooh.
Yep. Four, chili sauce.
Chili sauce.
Oh, did you not get that?
Oh, did you say chili?
Chili sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I said sweet and sour.
Can I just say,
I'm not a fan of barbecue sauce as a condiment. I don't mind it sort of
Not now, we're in the middle of a list.
My husband gets cross with me.
Get back to
my
eating,
husband gets cross with me because I put barbecue sauce on fish and chips and he thinks it's wrong.
Oh, that's
that is wrong.
Mad.
Yeah. We're in the list now. Yeah. There's no time,
I don't like barbecue sauce.
No.
Okay,
so chili sauce you didn't get. Brown sauce.
Yeah.
You got. Salad cream.
Yeah.
Salad cream girl sat there, obviously. Soy sauce, very late on, roughly around the 52nd mark, I think I heard it. Quite late. I think, soy sauce.
It's not a condiment.
It's in the list, Barry. You dip sushi in it.
Soy sauce.
Number 10, we've heard it all day, mustard.
Yeah.
So there's two more that you guys didn't get. Condiments.
What am I missing?
Number 5. Salsa! Number 8.
Salsa?
Are you going to say guacamole? Is that the other one?
Guacamole is right!
I don't think of that that's not a condiment.
That's not a condiment, that's a meal.
If you're having soy, then salsa's a condiment too.
No, you don't dip in salsa. You dip Doritos and things.
Yeah, of course you do.
Those are the top 10 condiments in this survey. You got 7.
Can I just quickly tell you a pet hate of mine related before you go on? People who call ketchup red sauce.
Yeah.
I can't be dealing with that.
Yeah. Tomato sauce or ketchup, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You're really hearing a greasy spoon or something, don't you? Do you want red sauce or brown sauce?
What I do, if somebody came around my house and asked for red sauce on their bacon sandwich, I'd cover it in chili sauce and go, there you go, that's red. That's what I'd do.
In Welsh, we say sauce.
Would you, Angela?
I would, Rod.
Especially if it was a child of about 4 years old who said,
exactly. Can I have some red sauce?
They've got to learn, Rod. They've got to learn.
Yeah, fuck them.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sister's List of Demands, your next frothy story. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sister's list of demands for brother moving in with her, labelled ridiculous. Okay.
Right.
You got that?
Yeah. What did she say?
A man has shared the ridiculously strict list of rules his sister gave him after she asks him to move in with her.
She asked him to move in with her.
Maybe
someone
not in that way,
Barry.
Someone
needed help with the mortgage.
Yeah.
No, it's just weird to invite someone and then give them a list, I'm saying.
Yeah, of weird rules. I see.
Yeah, I've got you. Right. Yeah. He explained that when his sister, 22, asked him, 20, to move in with her, he was well and truly up for it. Again, an odd phrase to use.
Depends. Were they in Norfolk?
He said that she had a nice house. Right. I think we all know what that means.
It means they don't live in the southeast. If she's 20 and has a nice house.
Exactly. How has she got a nice house?
He said she had a nice house and assumed that rent probably wouldn't be too expensive either. They are brother and sister.
Never
after
assume.
All.
Yeah.
But he didn't agree to move in straight away. He told her he'd have to think about it. That's good. Yeah, good.
That's good
strategy. Yeah,
cooling
don't look too
period.
Keen.
Yeah.
Playing hard to get.
Yeah.
With your sister.
Oh, that is the best way to play it, with your sister. Play hard to
the
get.
The only way.
Fools rush in,
impossible
as my mother used to say.
Get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impossible.
By law.
He's playing it impossible to get.
Okay, yeah. I am off the table.
He's playing it legally and morally frowned upon.
Right.
He told her he'd have to think about it and would like to know some vital details beforehand.
I bet he does.
She replied, 36, 34, no.
We've turned this.
Such as we have turned this. But it's, I think it's the phrase, she's well and truly up for it. I think that's what
that's
threw
the
us.
Problem.
But he wants to know her vital statistics.
He didn't. Vital details, oh, not right, vital right. statistics.
I think you might be hearing things you want to hear there, Sean.
Oh, totally. I will move in with you. How big is your chest?
Oh, God. It says you already wanted to smell her bra beforehand.
What?
No,
what?
I'm joking.
44, 24, 36. You don't hear stats. You don't hear statistics in like threes like you used to.
No,
you used to be like every woman on the telly. You'd
three,
get their stats.
Three measurements.
Totally.
Yeah, 34. Exactly. When somebody came up to do the weather, they'd have now the weather was so and so 34, 24,
30.
Words. Oh, he told you you'd have to think about it. He'd like to know some vital details beforehand, such as prices for rent, internet, gas, water and electricity bills. All the usual.
Yeah.
Fair dues.
Normal.
Fair dues. Yeah. And how much he would have to pitch in for general shopping items.
Right, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Important things to note.
Like a kitty,
yeah. But when she laid down her strict house rules, he quickly reconsidered. The list of house rules she put in place were as follows. Right. And I can tell you now that his reaction to reading the list was, what the fuck?
What did she say?
That was his reaction.
Okay.
So WTF! ! The list, here it comes. No eating or drinking unless using a bottle in the bedroom.
What?
So no eating or drinking in the bedroom unless using a bottle.
What, eating out of a bottle? God, let's get my Big Mac into a bottle and then
what?
I'm all right.
That she feeds him.
Yeah, with a teat on the end, right?
Yeah, breastfeeding is fine, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. It's normal.
What?
Sibling breastfeeding's all right.
Unless a bottle.
No eating or drinking in the bedroom unless using a bottle. So I guess from drinking, so no mugs of tea, no glasses of water, you have to have a bottle of whatever.
So I suppose if you knock it over, it doesn't spill.
Just eating a bottle of soup.
Yeah.
Should we take this to the bedroom?
I mean, it's fine for condiments. It's fine if you're just having condiments.
What about a flask?
Okay, here's a very general one. No mess in the bedroom.
What? She's obsessed with his bedroom.
Yeah. So and also, that's very subjective, isn't it? One man's mess is another man's, you know, happiness.
I mean, how are you going to finish that sentence, Angela? One man's mess is another man's.
That bit is getting clipped.
It's a result.
One man's mess is another man's donor sperm.
Oh, good grief. Darling. Right.
One man's mess is another man's child.
Oh. You should put that on a piece of wood and hang it up on the wall.
No mess in the bedroom. In the lounge is fine, apparently. Knock yourself out.
Right. She worry what his bedroom like. He can make a mess in the communal areas, but
it's
not in his own space.
Bedroom. Oh,
talking of knock yourself out in the lounge, just remembered.
Oh, your flatmate.
My flatmate.
Your old flatmate.
My old flatmate.
Is it one that I know? Because I know some of your old flatmates.
I don't think you know this guy.
There's been many, many people there over the years. Yeah. But one particular chap, and it was always a bit of a, it was sometimes a bit of a heartbreak hotel. People would go there after relationships broke down and things. So yeah. my flat was like a place for people to go and recuperate. It's like the Priory.
Not people,
like a little sanctuary. That's so lovely, right?
It was a little sanctuary, yeah. It was a sanctuary for many,
Lloyd,
many friends.
Lloyd once described
years.
Your house, no, you, as the Dr. Bernardo's of comedy.
Dr. Bernardo's of Welsh comedy.
It sounds like a sort of sanctuary for sad men, and I sort of wish I'd known about it when I was single, because I was
it would have been a great place to come round.
It's where I met Rod.
One of the guys who didn't come through that system, who was just a responded to an advert, I think, back in when I first was there, I just put things in Loot, the old free ads magazine.
Oh, I remember Loot.
Room for rent back. And a guy replied, and the first night he moved in, I came home. This must be before I started comedy. So I've been out somewhere. I came home about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he was in the lounge, sitting cross-legged in front of like Babe Station or one of those late night freebie 3 minute. And I walked in. I walked in, and he just went, "Oh, sorry about that. I was just about to have a wank." You would think red flag, get him out, weird, fuck it. Not at all. One of the nicest people I've ever met
He's
in my life.
Such a wonderful
really flatmate. Nice. Used to make his own guacamole. Homemade.
I bet. Don't ask what the secret ingredient was.
When I finally gave him the chance, he made his own No, I don't mean that.
No,
he did that. I mean, that was a complete faux pas. He made his own, not just that,
made
pesto.
Was that his first night?
First night. Very
that
first
That is
night.
An odd
the
first,
very first
night.
Night.
It in was, the communal
I sort of go, when he fessed up, like he could have tried to style that out, but he's just got, you go, well, here's a guy, look, we all do it. And he's a guy who's just gone, we all do it, you caught me.
And you know what? And he turned out to be a wonderful, I'm still in touch with him to this day, wonderful flatmate. And not odd in the least. And just very, very, honest and just like that,
you were talking about that. So he got the sort of 3 minute preview you'd get. When I was a student, I was I had this boyfriend, and we went and stayed at my dad's house. My dad had gone to bed, and we were on a like sofa bed in the living room. We had the telly on, and we were flicking through the channels, and it was like the last minute of the countdown on the fantasy channel or whatever it was. We were like laughing at it, going, "Oh, let's watch the last minute of it," and then it kept going. It turns out my dad was a subscriber. It's like, got to the midnight. It's like, oh, it's still going. Oh, that means.
Oh, God.
I mean, this was funny, and now it's awful.
My God.
To be fair, but bear in mind, my dad ran a sex shop for a living. It wasn't wholly a surprise.
Did he?
It was, he did.
Right.
So it was a bit.
He probably got
a free
subscription, I imagine.
Yeah, it probably did. But it was still like that moment of, oh yeah, this is my
dad.
He did. You knew
your
that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So what? So you know when like people who run shops quite often on the way home from school, they'd be sitting there twiddling their thumbs while the parents are in the shop for another hour. Yeah. I had a mate whose parents were hairdressers. Sometimes he'd go and wait at the shop while they did the last haircuts and close the shop.
I had a mate.
So were you sitting there by the counter up on a high stool?
I never did take your daughter to work day. I never did that.
Did you ever work the till?
Is
that why they call you salad cream girl? I just realised.
I was older when he had the shop. So I was a teens and 20s when he had the shop. So I used to, but the shop was in Great Yarmouth. My dad had moved to Great Yarmouth, and he ran the sex shop and a B&B. You can imagine what, and my dad was a swinger. Like it was a dark, seedy world that I wasn't really part of.
Love.
Obviously. Because the funny thing is, like my dad
he was
like
swinger.
He was. My dad was a swinger. So when my dad died, bless him, I had to, 2008? So he had a mobile phone, and I was like going through contacting people to let them know he died, you know, and every now and then I'd get someone and they'd be really devastated. I'd go, "How did you know my dad?" And then it'd just go quiet. And it was like,
Angela.
It took everything in me not to go, "Oh, were you part of his congregation?" But no, I never did it.
Wow.
But, Angela, is this the same dad, though, who didn't like mixing his condiments?
Yeah.
Wow! He didn't like sharing his food.
Of course. That is so weird. So he didn't mind sharing his wife. Hands off my mayonnaise. That is so weird. He wouldn't let. He didn't even like other people sharing food in front of him.
No, and yet he's sharing his wife.
That is fascinating.
That is unbelievable.
Oh dear, he was quite. Yeah,
have you made that connection before that he'd share his wife but not his condiments or not his food?
I'm so sorry, love.
Oh dear, Angela, that is
fascinating.
That's quite a revelation. That has made my
day. What an incredible contradiction that is.
But you did the till. So like, would men
I used to go up there sometimes. So I'll give you some context. Like, it was a proper seedy old sex shop. It wasn't like one of the new trendy cool ones.
I love
now.
It.
And where they had excuse the sort of they had a back door if you didn't want to be seen going in the front. And it was proper seedy old thing, and it was in Great Yarmouth. Just when you think it couldn't get any seedier, so their main custom was like they'd have the hens and stags, like they had that sort of custom, and then the rest was just sort of lonely men, really. And they used to have a lot of because it was in Great Yarmouth, and you had the Bird of Matthews turkey plant there. So a lot of it was just these like lonely turkey pluckers. Just coming.
Oh my God.
Every now and then my dad would like go, I'd go and visit. I never lived in Great Yarmouth. If I was like visiting for the weekend, he'd be like, I just need to nip out and get something. Can you mind the shop? And these guys would come in the shop, see me in there, like a real life woman, and just turn around and walk out again.
Yeah,
like, I'll come out when Derek's here later. And then on a Saturday night, they used to have, because it'd be open till like 8, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. And they used to, after their shift at the turkey factory, they'd all come in and my dad would make them all a cup of tea, and they'd all be standing with tea, like discussing which films had come out that week. It was really weird. It was really weird.
I love it.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. The list of house rules.
Yeah, with this guy.
The list of house rules continued.
I'd have forgotten about this.
Okay. So we've had no eating or drinking unless it's from a bottle in the bedroom. Yeah. No mess in the bedroom. Next one. Must not go out every night. Must stay home some nights.
Oh, what? God. That's a bit needy, isn't it? You can't.
Oh, yeah. Your brother.
Needy.
Your little brother.
Yeah.
Can't bring guys home all the time. Only sometimes.
Guys,
it says. Can't bring the guys home
like
all the time.
Lads.
Only so.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means boyfriends or the friends. I don't
generic,
know.
Yeah.
It just says, can't bring the guys home all the time, only sometimes. Must chip in with her dog cleaning chores.
Must be the
driver.
She has to. How does she clean in her dog?
No idea. It could be like cleaning the dog, or it could be cleaning up after the dog. It could be
well,
brushing.
Well, that is definitely her job if it's her dog. Right?
Yeah, it's her dog.
Well, that's what she's saying. Must be the driver if they need to go shopping.
Fucking hell.
I mean, can she drive?
Don't know. Must cook the meals if they're having the same one.
Oh, my God.
What? He better not move in.
That is the list, and his reaction is, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, not surprised.
Well, yeah.
I told her, he says. What do you think he told her?
Fuck off.
Fuck
I'm not
off.
Moving in.
After that. He says, I won't be moving in somewhere to be parented. If I want to bring guys home, I will. I won't be loud, though, because I'm considerate.
See, he's a nice bloke. He's not being unreasonable.
I won't be loud, though, because I'm considerate that others are in the house, he says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If I want to have a friend over, I don't need to ask. And I can eat whatever I want, etc., etc.
Yeah.
She goes to me, is that how you think it works everywhere? To which I said, yes.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Yes.
Look at this. I'm a law student, so I sent her some laws that showed what she's asking me is illegal. And as she'll be my legal landlord...
What sort of passive-aggressive family is this?
As she'll be my legal landlord, and having those requirements aren't legal for a landlord to ask. He's really gone to town
That's
on this.
That's a good point. Yeah.
He says, while rules are obvious, every house has them. The general gist of the laws where I live, as long as you're not damaging the property, as long as you're paying rent on time, there's not much else a landlord can require of someone. They can deny anyone living there for whatever reason, but they can't tell you what you're allowed to do in that space.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live with either of them.
No, they both sound like dicks.
And they're still only 20 and 22. 20, imagine what they're going to be like in their 30s when they're really bedded in.
I'd rather live
Lord,
with him, though,
you've been
you?
A landlord. You've been a landlord with lodgers, right? So you live in. And did you have rules in your sad man's flat?
Have any rules?
No. I don't remember having any rules. I mean, I should have made it a rule not to have a wank on day one in the lounge.
I should have really put some ground rules in. Well, didn't you have chaos fridge at one point? There were two fridges.
Oh, no, that was in Cardiff.
Yeah, but that was two fridges.
That's a different house.
One for the organised people, and you and Clint had chaos fridge.
Yeah, love it.
That was with Clint Edwards.
Oh, you see, if you as the landlord was the person that really needed the rules, then I suppose that's different.
Yeah, no, that was a shared house. That was a very different situation. The earlier one we're talking about was my flat where people over 20 years... So many people just
you
stayed.
You had no rules whatsoever.
No, we had no rules.
Oh, my God,
rules.
But it was an absolute... pit.
It was not a pit.
On the landing, there was a garden gnome that somebody had smashed.
Lloyd.
Accidentally.
And my money would have been on Lloyd.
It hadn't been glued back together, but it had been put back together so all the bits were quite near each other. So it was smashed, but back together, but not glued, if you know what I mean. A little gnome like lying down. And someone, I think it was Lloyd, had put a speech bubble next to it that said, "What doesn't kill me makes me stronger."
She wasn't impressed. She started to ignore me, he says. But I wasn't having it. That's why I sent her some laws about what she's doing.
Why is this in the newspaper?
I don't know. I mean, Sian, have you only just realised on episode 43? I think this is episode 43. You've just realised that some
press?
Of these... What?
Who took it to the press?
Christ knows where they get these
stories. Oh, this is a
from.
Story. You don't imagine, do you, the journalist with his little hat with the pencil in the side, with his Mac on, going, "I got a story."
Oh my God.
He asked, this is how it came to light, he asked Reddit users, the website Reddit, for advice on whether he was in the wrong, and nearly all of them agreed that he shouldn't move in with his sister. Have you ever been in a situation, Angela, where you were the landlord, either living with other people paying rent to you or in a separate property?
No, never. I'm poor, Rod, so no. I've never been a landlord. No.
Barry?
Yeah, I was. I've had a few lodgers at my first flat I had in Shepherd's Bush, and one of them was as Sean Collins, a Canadian comic, and he had a weird habit of never saying goodnight. So you'd be sat there,
mean,
sort of
Barry?
Chatting.
Whoa.
Like,
what
you'd be
you
sitting
mean?
There watching TV or doing or chatting, whatever, playing cards, doesn't matter what. And then, like, after about 15 minutes, I thought he might have gone to get a glass of water or gone to the bathroom.
Like an Irish
goodbye. He's got the bed. Just never, ever says goodnight.
I couldn't have that.
It's so weird. It's so weird not just go, "See you later, see you tomorrow." Never.
No.
That's weird. See you later.
It's weird.
I can't bear people not saying goodbye and not... So I have a thing about, like, well, if you die in your sleep, then we never say goodbye.
Yeah,
like, you have to end every interaction. And I make
does it,
my...
Does it matter if you die in your sleep, they haven't said goodbye?
Yeah, it does somehow. It does. I always
Angela,
think...
how do you say goodnight then? Goodbye.
Goodbye,
my friend.
I mean, yeah, do we have to every night prepare like a massive... It's
just
the last time I'll ever see you. Kind
maybe.
Of
like, yeah.
Absolutely.
The last time.
Go through the will.
Go the other end of the day. How do you feel about in the... So my husband goes off to work in the morning quite early if he has to be in London. So he'll leave at 5:45, and I insist that he wakes me up to say goodbye.
So early.
Oh,
I know,
Angela,
especially
as a
for
comedian,
a comedian,
why
right?
have
that's
you married
the,
somebody
the
who gets up at quarter to leaves at 5:45?
But I make him wake me up to say goodbye because otherwise I feel
what?
Like if anything happened, he hasn't said goodbye. I don't like it.
Oh, that's
it.
Sweet. That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, Angela, if anybody woke me up to say goodbye at 5:45, I would punch them so hard straight in the face. I would rather they went to work and died.
Darling, wake up. Exactly. Darling, wake up.
Every night he comes home and he hasn't died, you must be gutted.
Yeah. That's half hour, I'm not getting back.
We had a very interesting chat about nuclear war at the start of the show. And then we got onto the format of the show, the frothy stories that waste your time. Which of these is the bigger waste of time? Sister's list of demands for brother moving in with her labelled ridiculous? Or are you a dipper or a squirter? Britain's great ketchup conundrum. Which of those is the frothiest story of the week?
The brother and the sister is the biggest waste of all our time, I think. That was something that should have been kept in the family. you know, dealt with passive aggressively like families do and not made it to the national news agenda.
Totally. Yeah. I don't understand.
Are we all going for that?
Yeah.
Sisters Listen to Manson Brother Movie, labelled ridiculous. Congratulations. That is the froth of the week. Angela, lovely to see you. What have you got coming up? What are you
so nice to see you.
Do? Can you plug things? Where can we find you?
I've got a history podcast called We Are History that I do with John O'Farrell. We talk about nuclear stuff quite a lot on that, but that's really fun. So new series of that is just starting.
I saw that this week, and that is on my list of ones to do on tour to have a listen to in the van with my tour manager. We're always looking for podcasts. So is it quite a serious history podcast?
No, it's
I looked
very
down this
silly.
A list of is it?
It's very silly. It's interesting stuff. Podcast. You will learn, you know, everything from Cold War to the Romans to, you know, and just little quirky bits of history you might not have seen to
we do more
mainstream stuff as well. Yeah, it's really fun. We love doing it. So
we love history, it's called.
We Are History.
We are history. Check that out. Wherever you get your podcast. And what are you on tour? Are you doing?
I'll be going on tour in 2022. So keep an eye out on that. If you follow me on Twitter, Angela Barnes, or Instagram, Angela_Barnesy, and my tour dates should be going online soonish. And then Mock the Week starts next week. So you know, it's all right. Busy.
A busy lady.
Busy enough.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this, love.
Thank you so much for joining us, Angela. We will see you again.
Thanks for having me. It's been a total joy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
And remember, you can find us at the Froth Podcast and our YouTube channel, where you'll get extra froth content.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars and spread the word if you enjoyed it.
This podcast was a Llanbobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.